Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Willingham with Crimson Line Ministries Atlanta. Welcome to everybody. I'm going to try to get started pretty quick tonight. I know I've been, for the past couple of weeks, we've run over. Someone actually told me today that I was getting crunk. That was a term that I'm not that familiar with, but I guess that's what's been happening, and we've been running over past an hour, and an hour is a long time to listen to somebody preach, so I'm going to try to condense this a little bit, but I've got a lot of information that I need to get out, and it's pretty deep. But I believe that it's going to help all of us, including myself, because it's really helped me. Because this is direct revelation from God. Because I've never seen the scriptures that I'm going to cover tonight. I've never seen them in this way. But God really revealed some things to me that I think are going to have a direct impact on your life. You know, there are two kinds of people. There are hearers and there are doers. There are people who hear the word and they go home and they talk about how wonderful it was, and then there are those who hear the word and they go home and they immediately apply it to their lives. And I'm hoping and praying that those of you on the line tonight are in the second group. I love those kinds of people. Those are the kind of people that get me excited. Those are the kind of people that change the world. So before I go too much farther, let's open this up in prayer. Let's go to the Lord, and let's kick this thing off. Father, we thank you so much for just another opportunity to come together, to hear your word, to preach your word. Father, we just ask that your spirit would just come and just fill the entire program, that the Holy Spirit would have his way, speak through me. Have me to speak clearly, concisely. Father, I ask that not one bit of my past, not one bit of my opinion, not one bit of anything in me would cloud the message tonight, that it would be straight from your word, straight from your heart, not from mine. Father, bless the message, bless this program. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a brief introduction. Tonight we're going to be talking a lot about generational curses. You've heard me talk a little bit about that. We're going to kind of uncover some things, and I think the things that we're going to uncover are going to make the devil really, really mad. There are two terms that we use on a regular basis. One we use more than the other, but what we do and the mistake we make is we use these terms interchangeably as if they were the same thing, and they're not. We talk a lot about sin and transgression. Those two things are the same. But then we use the word iniquity. We see the word iniquity in the Bible a lot, and maybe we use it in the right context sometimes, but we try to interchange iniquity and sin as if they're the same word, and they're not. And we're going to explain what that means. We're going to talk a lot about the ramifications. I was thinking earlier about the, and I'm not sure what the website is, but it's gotten really popular where everybody likes to know their ancestry. It's ancestry.com. Ancestry, and we pay money and we go back and we want to find out where we came from. We'll trace it back and trace it back and trace it back, and we're waiting to find something exciting that so-and-so way back in my past did something really great or made an impact on the world or invented something and those kinds of things. But what we fail to do, and sometimes I'm not sure that we really want to know, but after this message, you might find it a little more important to maybe sit down with your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather. Talk to them about their life. if they'll open up to you a little bit about their life. This might be a chance for you to minister to them. Let them talk to you about their parents. Let them talk to you about their parents' parents. And I guarantee you that if that were to happen, you would understand yourself much better, and you might understand the things that you struggle with a lot better. We're going to start reading in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 5. When we come back, we're going to start there. And we're going to break this down, and I think it's going to help you understand. There's a lot of arguments out there of, were you born with this, or was it a learned thing? Is this behavior learned by your environment? Is it taught by your environment? Do you pick it up based on your race? Do you pick it up based on your neighborhood? Do you pick it up based on your environment? Or were you born with it? I think we're going to answer some of those questions tonight. And I might be the only preacher that you've heard that might have an opposite view of what most preachers have. Most preachers are going to tell you that even though that they will say that we're born with a sinful nature, once we get past a certain point, once we get into some specific things and some specific lifestyles, they like to flip the script on that one and say, no, that's learned. That's a choice. That was very interesting to me. We're going to talk about that. And then hopefully based on this sermon, based on this teaching, it'll open up some room for some discussion at the end of the show. So with that said, we're going to take a short break, take a music break, commercial break. Hold on, get ready, grab your Bibles, grab a pen and paper. This is going to be a little ride. And just understand, and one of my pastors, this is one of his favorite sayings, he says, I am an equal opportunity offender. So we will make sure that we don't just offend one group. We'll make sure we cover everybody, including myself. But this could sting a little bit. But that's how we grow. Because I had to deal with this myself. I had to be on my knees today, specifically today, repenting of some things that I hadn't seen and I didn't understand until today. So hold on to your hats, because this might be a little wild one, but we're going to have fun, and we will be right back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, come into this place where I am. Thank you, Lord. And begin with me.
National Radio is ready to give you the chance of a lifetime with our Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Hip Hop National Radio, in conjunction with Poetic Inc., is gearing up for a promotional campaign that will sweep the nation. Flyers on Fire Street Connect campaign. Yes, Hip Hop National is taking your music to the streets in all the major cities across America. Wait, there's more. Flyers on Fire campaign will go viral as well, attacking all the major social networks, Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and more. The Flyers on Fire campaign is designed for you, the artist, to hit many major markets to promote your music at the fraction of the cost. Hip Hop National Radio is all about teaching you how to take your music from the studio to the bank. Our mission is to assist you in spreading the good news about your music while making a profit. Get in now. Log on to HipHopNationalRadio.com. Remember, promotions are the key to making your project a success. Hip Hop National Radio has the network to take your project to the next level. Our packages start at $85. Call 954-461-3398. That's 954-461-3398 for more details.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries, Atlanta. I don't know if anybody listening right now is like me. When I listen to preaching, if I go to church, listen to preaching, I like to leave feeling that I was challenged. It's gotten real easy for me to tell when I'm listening to preaching whether the preacher is preaching out of revelation, not the book of Revelation, if they've received revelation from God. And that I can tell within just a few minutes that God has spoken to this man, he's spoken to this woman, and that message is coming straight from God, or whether somebody is up there just going through the motions and delivering the sermon of the day. I made a commitment to God. I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm going to remain who I am. I'm going to remain true to who I am. And I'm going to be obedient to you and talk about what you want me to talk about and give the message that you want me to give, because you're the one, God, that knows the one person or the five people or the 10 people that need to hear this message at this time. We are surrounded by preaching on a daily basis, whether it be the radio, the television, the internet, those kinds of things, and we hear constantly. We hear, if God is for us, who can be against us? We hear, you heard me say this over and over and over, we're just inundated constantly with the blessing is coming, the favor is coming, God, he wants the best from you. He wants the best for you. He wants to, and we're just, and that fills us with hope. And I get it. But there's a process that has to take place. There's an understanding that has to take place. And we're going to shed some light on that tonight. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, starting at verse 4. And it says, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, God doesn't share. He does not like to share. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean for today? Back then, and even today, but back then specifically, and there's Bible story after story after story about them carving images and the golden calf and all of these things and bowing down to these things. And we have this image we watch on TV, and it takes us to a remote village where they have carved some type of totem pole or idol, and they bow down to this thing. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for Christians? Does this apply to us? It absolutely applies to us. And here's how. Many Christians are guilty of building a Jesus that is not the real Jesus. We take Jesus and we form Jesus into our likeness. We form God into our likeness. We take our lifestyle, no matter what that lifestyle may be, and we create a God and create a Jesus that lines up with that lifestyle. Instead of taking Jesus and looking and reading the Word of God and taking and finding out who he really was, what he stood for, what he taught, the reasons that he did the things he did, the fact that he was obsessed with a kingdom, the fact that he hated sin, the fact that he spoke against sin of all kinds. He was very clear. He did not stutter. There is no room for interpretation. I love that word because you hear it all the time. Well, I interpret that a different way. That's very interesting. You know, new religions have been formed out of that I interpret it a different way. But at the end of the day, what you're taking the Word of God and doing, you're taking it and you're twisting it, you're bending it, and you're perverting it to match up to your jacked-up way of thinking. You're taking it and twisting and turning it and justifying it to match up with your willful, sinful lifestyle and sinful nature. So we create a God for ourselves. We create an image based on our life, and then we go find a church that preaches that Jesus. Somebody can make a tweet out of that one. We take our lifestyle that is built and developed out of our own desires, out of our own selfishness, out of our own will, out of our own nature, and this is my lifestyle. I'm comfortable with it. I believe in it. I will not worship a God that looks down on this lifestyle, no matter what that lifestyle is. Sin is sin is sin is sin, period. God didn't stutter. He didn't put any caveats or any fine print at the end of his word. We will not give up that lifestyle. We will not give up that sin. We will not give up these things. So what we have to do is we have to create a God in that image, and then we have to go find a church where the preacher is preaching that Jesus and preaching that God, and the people that I'm surrounded by are the people that have the same mindset as I do. And that takes us back to this chapter where God is saying, no, I'm a jealous God. You're not worshiping me. You've created another God. Because my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My words are not your words. I have spoken. My word will not return unto me void. I will not change my mind. I have made a covenant with you. I always keep up with my end of the bargain, and now it's your responsibility to keep up with yours. And if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I'm not changing. That's the God that I serve. I have to adapt, and I have to transform, and I have to shift my ways of doing things, no matter how hard or how painful they may be, to line up with what he says, how he says that things should be done. So when we do this, when we form God in our image, it starts to create patterns in our life. These patterns of disobedience, this willful disobedience toward God, that I've created him in my image, and what that does is as time goes on, something gets planted in the bloodline. We develop these cyclical patterns in our lives, and it creates a system in our bloodline. I'm going to explain that more. Let's go back to last week. We talked last week about each one of us has three dimensions to us, or more simply put, we have three rooms. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. The moment we come to Jesus, that spirit dimension is perfected. You cannot add to it. You can't improve upon it. It is complete. It is whole. We were made the righteousness of God in that spirit realm. It is done. It is finished by accepting Jesus into our lives. Period. No argument. No interpretation, no other translation. That's the way it is. But we're still left with a soul. We're left with a soul, and if you were with us last week, I described everything that is encompassed in our soul. That is our impulses, our passions. If you can, please write this down. This is very important to understand. Our impulses, our passions, our desires, all of our experiences in life are in that dimension. Our ways of thinking, the neighborhood we came from, the conversations with our granddad when he took us fishing. All of those things are in our souls, and it develops over time. Everything that we've learned, everything that we've heard, everything we've been taught, everything is encompassed in that soul. It is the garbage dump of ourselves. It's where everything gets dumped. It is what forms the way we see and perceive everything around us. Did you know that no one is born a racist? That is something that is taught. At some point, you would have had to sit down with a racist, listen to them speak about this race is like this and this race is like this, and listen to this garbage, and you adopted that into your own thinking. At some point, by sitting down with someone who had that kind of mindset, it helped you develop how you see and perceive everything around you, and it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. That is your truth. That is your reality. But it is not the Spirit of God. Anti-Christ. It is anti-Messiah. It is anti-God. That's the test that we need to line up every way of thinking that we have. I don't care what you see on the news. I don't care how many crimes are committed around you. Every experience, whether it be a passive experience through the media or whether it be a direct experience, we have to immediately, and I understand that there will be a moment of emotion. There will be a moment of anger potentially. There will be a moment of bitterness potentially. And there will be a fleeting moment where you try to associate what just happened to a specific race. But it's wrong. The fact is we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where the devil has a stronghold on almost every aspect of our society. This, the things that you see going on around you, the extreme things from the crime, the death, the murder, the rape, all those things, all the way down to the things that you experience in your own life on a daily basis, are a condition of the heart. It's the condition of the heart of men. This is a personal testimony, and I'm going to share that. This is the first time I'm going to share this publicly, but 2 weeks ago, actually not 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago today, my son, my 14-year-old son, was robbed at gunpoint. Never in a million years, if someone would have told me 4 years ago, when I lived in Columbia, South Carolina, before I moved to Atlanta, if somebody would have told me that a person in my family would be robbed at gunpoint, it wouldn't have even made sense to me. That's not a world that I have ever lived in. That's a world that I see on the news. But now I'm faced, in a moment in time, I'm faced with my son and his friends saying, "Dad, this is what happened to us today." Did I have emotion? Yes. Did I have anger? Yes. Was there a fleeting moment that I associated the behavior of the young men and the young woman that committed this crime to race? Yes, there was. Did their race have anything to do with the crime? No. It's a condition of the world that we live in. It is a fallen world with fallen people, with churches that have failed, men and women of God who have failed this generation, parents who have failed their children, a school system that has failed their children. And it's left with people like us who at some point in time we have to make a decision that we're going to do something and start reaching out and giving of ourselves and see just how much God is willing to work through us to try to change something. But what most of us would rather do is we would rather sit back on the news and watch the news and pick one trial after another trial and get angry about it and scream for justice. Scream for justice. And we get all worked up about this one trial and this one young man or this one young woman whose life was taken senselessly. And if we're honest with ourselves, deep down inside, behind closed doors, and we won't really say it, but the racism is burning in us. And we feed it. We feed it on Facebook, and we feed it on Twitter. And we cause division, more and more and more and more division, because everybody takes sides. Everybody must take a side. So if I have to take sides, if we're playing a game here, then that means that I have to take the side of the one that's the color of my skin. Based on what? Based on an evil act from one human being to another? Because, oh, by the way, during these trials that everybody gets worked up and they use these things to divide us, they divide men and women of God, but, oh, we don't talk about it in church, do we? We sit beside each other and we love on each other and God bless you, brother. And oh, no, I'm not a racist. I love you just as much as you love me. But once we get home, but there's nobody telling the truth and nobody willing to stand up that says, you know what, I live in the kingdom. I play by kingdom rules. I have a kingdom identity. I am a son or daughter of God. That is who I am. There's neither Jew nor Greek or slave nor free. I don't have a color. I don't have to identify myself with my race anymore, because I find my identity in God. Because nobody would stand up during this media frenzy that was going on and say, oh, by the way, guys, when all your focus is and your attention is focused on this one thing that's stirring you up and getting you angry, over 700 young men and women have been killed in Detroit and Chicago from the moment the trial started to the moment the trial ended, and nobody was talking about that. Where's the justice for those families? And nobody wants to hear these things. And nobody's speaking out against these things. But until we start coming into the realization that we are kingdom citizens, that we are children of God, that there is no color, and love each other unconditionally and be willing to reach out to a younger generation that is lost. They're lost. They're dying. Their influence comes from everything else other than a godly mother and father. Their influence comes from everything else other than a church who's willing to look past the superficial and dig down deep and look at these children and recognize that they need deliverance, that they need help, that they're under demonic oppression, that the devil has them, and we're the ones that can get the devil to turn them loose. Nothing's going to change until we realize that we have that power in us through the Holy Spirit of God to change things. And I refuse to have these conversations anymore. I do not engage in them. I turn my back and walk away because it is useless. And it breeds division. And there are ministers and preachers out there who are feeding into this. How hard is it for a man of God to read their own Bibles and know that this was not God's intent? He intended for us to love, to live together, to love one another, for there to be unity. Unity based on nothing else but the fact that we're kingdom citizens. So this idea of the soul, we have to, the same thing that took place, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus when he died and bore our sins upon him, and our sins were cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In order to create that dimension in our lives, that spirit that is perfected in us, the exact same thing has to take place in the soul dimension. But that is the one dimension that requires participation. It requires our participation. It requires our blood, sweat, and tears. It requires something on our part to work with God hand in hand. Okay, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending your son to die for me. Now we've got work to do. And Father, I'm willing to work with you hand in hand. And we're going to pick these things off one at a time. Our impulses, passions, desires, experiences, the way we think, where we come from, the jacked up things we were taught from the time we were 2 years old. Now, let's look at this difference between iniquity and sin. This is very important. Please bear with me on this. Sin is an outward expression of things that are against the laws of God, against his ways of doing things. They're things that happen outwardly. If I get mad last night and I curse somebody out, that is a sin. When we sin that way, it is outward. Everybody sees it. That is those things that you come to God and you take those things and you bring them under the blood of Jesus and you say, Father, forgive me for this sin and please help me to control my tongue. have the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit to manifest in my life so these things, it won't happen next time. That is a sin. But then there's iniquity. And in Exodus, it says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. He didn't say visiting the sin of the fathers. Iniquity, those are the things that are hidden. Those are the things that are under the surface. Those are the things that we struggle with that we don't like to talk about. Those are the things that we hide, that nobody in church knows about these things. These are the things that torment us. They haunt us. We battle with them daily. That is iniquity. Now let's look at what iniquity literally means. Please pay attention. Iniquity means to be bent, and it means to be twisted. In other words, let's take that and put it into context. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting your bentness, visiting your twistedness to the third and fourth generations, visiting the things that nobody knows about, visiting the things that have become a pattern in your life, visiting the things that you hide that you don't think anyone knows about, bent and twisted. See, we as Christians, we're great at pointing out sin. We're wonderful at doing that. We like to call them out individually, and pastors are great, and they can go off on all kinds of sin, and this is the sin of the day that we're going to attack. But what we're horrible at is identifying the why. We're great at identifying the what. But we're horrible as a church, as believers, at identifying and addressing the why. I want you to think about this for a minute. Because of Adam, the Bible says we were born into iniquity. Because of Adam, we were born bent. Because of Adam, we were born twisted. There are families. Each and every one of us is different, and we have a different past. We have a different circumstances in our families. Some, there's a bloodline of addiction. Some, there's a bloodline of alcoholism. There's bloodlines with that you can trace them back, and there's relationship issues that go back generation after generation after generation. Your bloodline is just full of divorce. Alcoholism, divorce. You might be sitting here right now and you don't struggle lust, you don't struggle with pornography, you don't struggle with any of these things, but this one thing, if you even get close to it, it'll suck you into a hole. And the thing is, you don't understand why. Why does this thing have a hold on me? Why does this thing keep popping up into my life? And it's all because, let me say this. There are children that I will never meet that will fight devils. There are children that Chris Willingham will never meet that will fight devils that I started. Why don't preachers talk about this? Because these things and these patterns can be broken. They have to be brought to the surface. They have to be acknowledged. They have to be identified. More importantly, you know what they have to be? They have to be brought into the light. And if you bring them into the light, now you'll crush that iniquity. You'll crush it and kill it now, where your children and their children and their children won't have to deal with these things. What did Jesus tell Nicodemus in John chapter 4? He said in verse 20, he said, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Those are the things that must happen. No matter what it is that you're struggling with, we like to use the word lifestyle. And that's the word I'm going to use tonight. I'm going to use the word lifestyle. I said it at the beginning of the show, that there are those who say, were we born into that lifestyle? Were we born with that mindset? And then there are those that say, no, it's learned. It's a choice that we make. Well, let me ask you a question. Think about a baby being born. This beautiful baby comes out of the birth canal, and you lay your eyes on that baby for the very first time. That baby hasn't been taught. That baby hasn't learned anything. That baby hasn't heard anything. There's nothing environmentally that has influenced that baby at all. And this beautiful ball of innocent life lying on a table in front of you. And we look at this beautiful picture of this little baby, and based on what the Bible tells me, as I'm looking at this baby, and I, you know, of course I picture my son because he's only two now, so it hasn't been that long. And inside that baby is already a momentum. The wheels are already turning. There is a momentum and a proclivity to be bent toward a certain lifestyle. Already. Based on what? Based on my iniquity? Based on my hidden sin? Based on my father's iniquity and his hidden sin? Based on my grandfather's iniquity and his hidden sin? And if we understood these things, and thank God, because I didn't understand these things with my three older children. But I do, and I did understand them with my fourth. And what is the first thing that I did in the hospital that I did not do with my other three children is I touched that baby, and I pled the blood of Jesus over that baby, and I said, God, search my heart. Search my heart now if there's anything left that I haven't repented of, any generational thing that is there that hasn't been identified, bring it to the surface now, and it stops here. It stops here and now. This child will not deal with my sin in the name of Jesus. How many people do you think do that? It's necessary. Everything must be brought into the light. Everything must be placed at the foot of the cross. All of those desires, all of those impulses, all of the experiences, all of the messed up ways that we have been taught, the hatred and the bigotry and the racism and the things that we have that we're surrounded by on a daily basis, that we've bought into, that we feed, they have to be killed, buried. And then that soul dimension must be resurrected new and clean. And we must ask God, please, God, search my heart, search my soul. Tell me what's down there in the okay, we've gotten rid of a lot of stuff, God, but what's down in the deepest, darkest corners and crevices of my soul that I haven't been able to identify yet? Show me. Show me what's left. But then there's good news. And this is how awesome the God is that we serve. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 40 and verse 12. Psalm 40 and verse 12. And it says, "For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me." Who's talking? This is David talking. This is David. Remember who's talking. "For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me." By the way, this was a man after God's own heart. So for all the church folk who like to say, "I'm not going back to that church because he sinned. He has fallen and I won't read that book if it's from somebody who's," you know what? Close your Bible. If you can't read a book from somebody that was written by somebody who has sinned and had a sinful nature, then you might as well close your Bible, because Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. He wrote the first five books of the Bible, but he was in exile for 40 years as a murderer. And oh, by the way, out of the 150 Psalms, did you know that a lot of those Psalms were written not before and not after, but during the time that David was having an affair? Paul, not before he was saved, but after he was saved, he said, of all the sinners, I'm the chief sinner. As he's writing the letters, I'm the biggest sinner of them all. As he's writing the letters. What does that mean? That means that God can take us in our darkest hour. He can take no matter where you are in life and extract something amazing out of you. He can pull the best out of you. He can pull, because that spirit man, that perfected room, that perfected dimension, that's where he dwells. That's where the Holy Spirit can move, and he can do amazing things through you. And he can take that circumstance that you're in, no matter what it is, the addiction, the pornography, the alcoholism, whatever it is, and he can take you during that time. He's not saying, become perfect so I can use you. He's saying, let me use you so I can perfect you. He can do the most amazing things at the crappiest times. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, 4 through 5. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Awesome. You remember when I told you the difference between sin and iniquity? Watch how just absolutely amazing the God we serve is. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our sin. Look at that for a minute. Wounded. Wounded implies cut. Wounded implies if I walk up and I cut someone, hopefully I won't do that, but if I receive a cut on my arm, I'm going to bleed, and I'm going to bleed outwardly. There's going to be outward blood, and he was wounded for those outward transgressions. He was wounded for those sins that we commit on a daily basis that God says, you know what, just because you got mad and cursed somebody out last night, I'm not going to visit that on the third, on your third and fourth generations. That's not what he's saying. But then what did he say? He said, and then he was bruised. He was beaten and bruised for our iniquities. What does that, what does bruised mean? What happens? If you receive a bruise, if you receive a blow, if you're beaten, the tissue underneath the surface is broken and it bleeds. The blood doesn't come out. The blood is hidden underneath the surface. Isn't that amazing that he can paint that picture? Everything always lines up. So what am I trying to tell you? It's not about going down to the altar, because this is the misconception that we have. We go to church, and we go down to the altar and said, oh, Lord, forgive me, because I, you know, this week I got mad at my coworkers and I'm having this really, no. That's part of it. Repent. Turn from that stuff. Bring it under the blood of Jesus. Repent. Turn around. Get better. But it's time we look deeper. The things we don't want to know, want anybody to know about. The things that we're hiding, those are the things that we have to stop now, because when those things exist in our life, it doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody around us, and it affects our children and their children and their children. And that verse and that reality haunts me. It haunts me. Because that's the way of looking outside myself for a minute. Forget me. How can I bear to know that my great-grandchildren are going to be struggling with things because I was so prideful and I was so arrogant and I didn't spend enough time with God and didn't learn his word and draw closer to him and seek the kingdom and understand my purpose in this life, that I didn't put in enough time and enough blood and sweat and tears to get to know my God and serve him in a way that when I go and see him, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So my great-grandchildren don't have to suffer through the things that began with me right now. We have to look beyond ourselves. Things have to change. But just like I said last week, it starts with me. It doesn't start with me getting angry and picking a cause. It doesn't start with me picking sides. It doesn't start with me picking which political party I want to align myself with. You do not fight politics with politics. We're dealing with a fallen world. We're dealing with a world that is twisted and bent. And the only thing that is straight is the realities of the kingdom. And everything that we see on the news, and we're bombarded with biased media, one way or another, I don't care which way it is. I could care less whether it's Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or whatever you want to call it. I want to know, does it line up with the kingdom? Does it line up with the laws and the way God wants things done? Yes, I think it is a responsibility to vote, and the reason I'm telling you this now is because Al and I had a very quick conversation prior to the show. Yes, you should vote. But let me ask you something. Are you lining your vote up based on biblical kingdom principles? Or are you voting out of emotion? Where does the candidate stand on certain things? Where does the candidate stand on things that are obviously in the Bible that says these things are an abomination to God? If the candidate says that I am against what the Bible says, then I'm against the candidate, period. Period. I am not about what the candidate can do for me. I could care less. Raise my taxes, lower my taxes, you know what? At the end of the day, ebb and flow, it's always going to happen. Go with it. I render to Caesar's what is Caesar's, period. Oh, by the way, because that's what the Bible tells me to do. But if you're going to outwardly support things that are an abomination to God, you don't have my vote, period. Why can't it be that simple? But it's not. Why? Because it's all about us. It's all about me. It's all about my soul. It's all about my desires. It's all about my passions. It's all about my experiences. It's all about my ways of thinking, perceiving, and seeing the world based on what I've been taught. Those are the things that have to shift. And when those things start to shift, we will start to experience a different reality. Harder than it sounds. It does take work. But at the end of the day, no matter who's listening tonight, stand, like I've said many times, that God has a plan for your life. He will accomplish that plan. It's up to you of how much hell you want to go through to get there. And you don't have to be completely righteous. You know, there's a mixture there. We have this soul, we have this spirit, and there's a mixture. We walk around saying, am I good or am I bad? Am I holy or am I unholy? Am I righteous or am I unrighteous? I don't know because I've got this battle going on. I'm trying to be led by the Spirit, but yet this stuff, I got this stuff here that keeps telling me the opposite of what the Spirit is telling me. That's what needs to be dealt with. So Jesus says, let me help you. I've sent you a helper. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father. I've done all I can do. Don't you think that's enough? But I'm sending you a helper. And he's going to guide you into all wisdom and all truth. Truth. We're believing the lies. We operate. We raise our children based on a lie. We work in our job based on a lie. We vote based on a lie. We do everything that we do based on the lies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And God is saying, Jesus said, I'm sending you a helper to guide you into all wisdom and all truth. And if you will let him guide you, all of your decisions will be the opposite of what they are. That's amazing. That is absolutely awesome. But all it takes is submission and the desire to want to change. We have to have a desire to want to change, and we have to be willing to bring the things that are in the darkness of our lives, bring those things into the light, and let Jesus cleanse those parts of our lives. One thing at a time. Don't hold on to these things thinking that nobody knows. Because if you hide them, in every generation, they grow stronger and stronger and stronger until the generation that pops up when they're so strong that they can no longer be hidden. And then they manifest and they come out. What generation is that going to be? Your children? Is it going to be your grandchildren? Is it going to be your great-grandchildren? I don't know. But I don't want to take that chance because the responsibility lies on me right now to kill it now. To kill it now. And all it takes is a little bit of honesty, a little bit of sacrifice, and a lot of getting down on your knees, getting down on your face, shedding a few tears, looking up to the Father, and letting him cleanse these things in your life and being done with it now. I hope this blessed you. I hope you learned something. I hope I'm not pushing too hard. I'm absolutely willing to discuss these things, answer any questions. If you would like to ask a question, if you would like to comment, please feel free once we come back from our break to press the number 1 on your keypad, and that'll put you in the host queue. And the most exciting thing and the lighter moment of the show, so we come back, Mother Agnes, who was absent last week. I almost said abstinent. Dang. I think she's about 200 years old. I hope she's – anyway, I don't need to go there. She'll be with us when we get back. So we're going to take a quick break for some music and commercial announcements. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries.
What's up, good people? It's your boy, Andre Lewis. Here's my new single entitled Give Him Praise. Download it on iTunes and follow me on Twitter at Lyricist Lewis. Aight!
Give him praise. Come on, don't be shocked. We gon' give him praise.
Now enter into a realm like no other.
I'ma tell y'all people right now, ain't nobody else greater.
Nah.
Who you know that can be named Alpha and Omega? You may need a lot, but this rock got favor. Hey. Ain't no coincidence like rocks is a paper. Only one that earned king status from a prince. Nobody ever lived that can walk up in this prince. Ain't no blueprint simplified. Jesus Christ came to die. Love will make Marines holler. Hoorah, simplify. He got that power, much more than Kanye. Jesus ain't alive, it's just something that me content. Yeah, he came and died, but he rose on that thigh. Yeah, now he's in the sky, most high with a prophet. And he coming back, white horse with the strong arm. First you're gonna hear that trumpet blaring Louis Armstrong. Get the music right, don't be caught up singing thongs.
No,
read up on your words too and don't be focused on song.
For your homie, Holy Spirit's on the inside, you're never lonely.
Open up the pages of the Bible, then it shows me. I gotta live righteous, gotta live holy, gotta stay humble, but in other words, lonely. Learn about Christ, he's the life for your soul. Jesus is his name, but don't forget it like Toby. You can't be so arrogant, imitating Kobe. When you go to the throne, but got a right to go boldly. Confess and back, things from the devil, that's what he owes me. Like the fact that I'm saved, I believe cause Christ told me. His hands, they still holy. From hanging on that rugged old cross for my soul. He did it out the love of his heart. He never owed me. And that's why I love him, cause that's the first thing he showed me.
Now check me out.
Go ahead, I get a little praise. Pay attention, start repeating. It's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. Go ahead, I get a little praise. Pay attention, start repeating. It's the end of days. Get down on your knees.
Omega, the creator,
yeah.
The final way maker, on top and ungreater.
Right.
So the Satan is a lion, full-fledged hater.
Okay.
He can hate all he wants, but can't stop God's favor. See, God can make it possible. So how could you believe on what them doctors do?
Yeah.
Working in a hospital.
Okay.
Jesus left a comforter, the Holy Ghost inside of you.
Right.
A filler and a healer, not a killer. He will guide you through. Serving omnipresent God that does not lose the sight of you.
Yeah.
If you need an open door, hit the floor and trust
okay.
the Lord. He will meet your every need, humble cry. He can't ignore.
Why you think God Jesus came?
To pay the price we can't afford.
Worthy, righteous, holy, what else is that you can't adore?
And he's the same God of the future, present, and day before.
When you go bananas, when your favorite team scores,
don't
forget to lead your best unto the Lord, he did more.
Go ahead, I get a little praise.
Pay attention,
start repeating,
it's the end of days.
Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing.
Go ahead, I get a little praise.
Start repenting, it's the end of days.
Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing.
He's amazing.
He's amazing.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot
Todd's music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotions. Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3s today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
Welcome back to Hip Hop National Radio. Now's the time of the show. We take some calls, and we've got a few people on the line. We're going to go to 517-376 first. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio and Crimson Line Ministries.
How you doing? This is Rusty Rust. I'd just like to thank you for having me, and I appreciate the sermon that has been going on tonight.
Well, thank you, sir.
I had a question. No problem. I had a question. While you were talking, preaching, I was thinking the whole time about, I remember I went to Catholic school. I'm 24 now, but I grew up in Catholic school. I mean, I'm a just devout Christian now and very spiritual, but straight Christian. But I remember learning in Latin when Christ is on the cross, he said, Abba, Abba, and that means forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do?
Yes. Abba is Father.
Abba is Father?
Yes.
Yes, and my point to that is it dawned on me, not dawned on me, but it just gave me a refresher of how, like you're saying, how the things, like when you're saying your child was born, how it was like pure, how it's purity, and like your deepest, darkest secrets and stuff, and you say to repent, stuff like that, like only God can see those, feel those, can reach deep down in you and can heal you and can, in your darkest times of need, I mean, you can find a Bible at the dollar store now, and back then I'm sure it was written in stone, and I'm sure there's many more scriptures that aren't even found, but I'm saying, like, you know, it's a piece of, if you're trying to write the perfect rhyme, but it's not rhymes, but just to have peace of mind, it's so powerful, and it's so, I don't know what the word to use is because I'm not a professional, but it just gives me a sense of peace. Everything about it, just some feeling, like some sense.
You know, we talked a lot about that, where the word peace, when you see the word peace in the Bible, that is the actual word there is the word shalom. And when you hear shalom, you usually think of Jews. And the thing is, Jesus was a Jew. And that word shalom is such a powerful word because it's the absence of anything negative. It's the absence of financial struggles. It's the absence of hunger. It's the absence of relationship issues. It's the existence, it's complete wholeness in every area of your life. So when you look at Jesus and it says he's the Prince of Shalom, he's the Prince of Peace, he's the Prince of bringing completeness and wholeness into your life. And that was a very interesting comment you made of saying, you know, they didn't have what we have today back then, but the Bible tells us that Jesus intercedes on our behalf. And it's amazing that at that moment, in that much pain and dying on a cross, that he still had the awareness and still was filled with that much love to intercede on behalf of the people who murdered him and say, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do. And we have much more available to us today, and sometimes when we denied and lied to ourselves for so long about the issues of life, you made a very good point, that it's only God, it's only the Spirit of God who can search our hearts, that can search our souls and help us identify those things that we need to admit, that we need to repent of and get rid of. So it's a very, very good point you made. I appreciate
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that, and it's, you know, it's the elders, because, I mean, I'm getting older up there myself, getting my priorities and stuff together, but it's the ones who have the wisdom and have the guidance and have the knowledge that can, and can, to me, pass down information that they've been taught, but how I can perceive, like you're saying, to your generate to the next generation and stuff like that. How am I to... I mean, not how, but, like, how I perceive it and put it into my perspective and how I'm going to pass that on down. Like, because, like you said, we're living in a world of sin, and there's sin, and what you said, sin and, iniquity. The other word was, I'm sorry.
Iniquity.
Iniquity, yes, yes, yes. And iniquity, there's a difference. To me, the difference, you explain the difference, I mean, and you explain the difference, but to me, as it is, like, it reminds me of when he said he bruised, like, God bruised, and God can deal with a bruise, because if you can create life, you can take away life, though you can heal life, and only he can do that. That's why he is the one. And
absolutely.
I think that everyone's given a purpose in this life, and no matter what hell you go through, you're given this life. I mean, you're not the only one who goes, I mean, everyone goes through their own trials and tribulations on their own, regardless. I mean, I'm not saying everybody's your, I mean, not saying that it's your fault, like, at all times, but I think of it as a test. Because I've been to
right.
hell and back in my own way, but why do you want to go to hell, and then why do you want to go back? You only want to move forward, and I think of it as a test. For
right,
faith, because
right.
faith to me is like the unknown, not the unknown, but you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, we've talked a lot about that in the past weeks, about how, you know, God has a plan for your life, and he's going to accomplish his plan regardless of how stubborn or hard-headed we are. He's going to, and he'll allow us to go through as much hell as we want to go through on the way to getting to his plan, but we're still going to end up in the same place, and that was where we talked about the book of Jonah last week or the week before last, that Jonah had a decision to make, and he chose the wrong way and had to go through hell, but still ended up in the exact same place that God asked him to go in the first place. So that's how it all works. He leaves room for our free will. He leaves room for our hard-headedness and stubbornness. But if we'll trust him and we'll turn around and be obedient, then we'll end up exactly where he wanted us to be.
And I compliment that, and I say I took a few, I'm not graduated from college, but I took world religions, and just get, I mean, not that, I mean, I wanted to renounce my faith, it's just I wanted to get, like, what other ideas are there that relate to Christianity, and they all are the same kind of, I mean, the original is Jesus Christ and God, and it, I mean, there's one God and Jesus Christ, I mean, and it's all, to me, that it's, besides the devil, of course, I'm saying, like, it's based off of not all religions, I'm saying, like, Christianity is the summary of all religions besides the devil, is not, and I mean, you know what I'm saying, like, meditation and like faith is a form of meditation. Like, I get stuck on that. Like, you ever heard of astral projection?
Can't say that I've heard of that one.
That's like third eye meditation, but that's like, that's something from Hindu, but I'm not no one else's religion. I'm a Christian, but I have an anxiety disorder, which is why I rap. That's my self-defense mechanism. And in order that I'm saying that is because we're on the hip-hop show, but, like, that's my self-defense mechanism to release my demons. And I, when I think to myself, that goes to my subconscious mind. And who knows what's in your subconscious mind? Who gave you the power to write that lyric? Who gave you the thought? Who gave you – it all comes through Christ and God himself, the Holy Spirit. But you do have your own soul. What's that? I'm sorry.
I was just saying I hear you.
I've been regulating the show right now at the point in time, Chris, We got a few minutes, so you got some other callers. Rusty Russ, really appreciate you calling in, but I got to move on because you got other callers too as well. And we're about to end the show in about 12 minutes. So that's why I have to.
Thank you, Rusty. Thanks for calling in, brother.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, let's go to 240-547.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the National Radio. Hello.
Thank you. This is Tamika Griffin. I am so glad I jumped on this call. I just got the notification a few minutes ago. And as you were talking, I literally began to get sick to my stomach. And I say this because I turned 40 last year, October 28th. And I had a dream that night when I turned 40. And in the dream, I saw me preaching in hell. And so I woke up and I said, Lord, now what is that? And his words to me was, hey, you're going to do what I said that you're going to do, whether you do it now or whether you do it there, but it's, the choice is yours. And I'm like, but how can I do this? I'm not perfect. And so when he called me to evangelize a year and a half ago, all these years I've heard pastors say you have to be perfect. And I've always scratched my head, like, how is it that I'm going to be perfect when Paul was not perfect? Not one disciple that walked with Christ was perfect. How can I be perfect? And so the day that he called me, I had just had a tantrum on the way to church, and I was like, no, God, not today, not today. But I know that he chose me to evangelize. And so then I got away from him again, you know. My thing, when you were talking about iniquities and sins, I know exactly what mine are. And so, and I constantly ask God to please help me in those areas because, no, I do not want to pass those down to my children. And so, as far as anger, I asked him a few years ago, why am I always angry? What is the reason? No, it just cannot be because I was molested. Something else had to have happened to me that's buried so deep down in my mind that I don't know about. And as soon as I said it, he gave me a vision of me 5 years old when my father was beating my mother outside in front of everybody in Newark, New Jersey. And I said, God, please help me with that. I didn't deal with anger on that level anymore. Fast forward to now. I am dating. However, I just cannot keep. You know, I asked him, I said, can you please help me in this area of sex? Because I was molested, I had a strong desire to do that. And I was like, Lord, do I really have to say this on the phone tonight? Yes, you do. And he just continuously keep chasing me about this area. And so what stopped me was I had another vision. Last night of a few days ago, me actually dying. And my children crying around me because I would not stop having sex. The iniquities, being that my mother didn't deal with it, my father, my grandparents didn't deal with it, now it falls on me. So therefore, my children won't be able to deal with it. But because it gave me a horrible vision, if I did not change, I was going to die with this. You understand? And so I actually had a conversation with a man that I've known since we were 13. Did not want to because, you know, we always get an argument about marriage. However, this man, he received it, and it was his. He said, you know what, we're going to actually stop this because I know this actually hurts you, and I want to be right, you know, in the will of God also. So what we're going to do, we're going to stop this altogether and do it God's way. So I appreciate this call because it's truly sent by God. Like I said, I am sick to my stomach because I know this word has hit those areas that I have been praying for him to heal me. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Well,
Well, thank you for the phone call. That your phone call was a blessing to me. So, and I'll be praying for you too. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Welcome.
All right. We have time to go to 704-890.
Hallelujah. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Blessed despite trials and tribulations in life. But, oh, yeah, go ahead. Today I found out my friend Antonio died recently of a heroin overdose. May he rest in peace. And also Barbara died from lung cancer within the past 6 months. May she rest in peace. And I also want to, I know you're short for time. That's why I respect that I'm going to be a future host and stuff. Basically, the guy, first guy that was talking on the show, the guy that has the anxiety and stuff, I have the same situation. I have dual diagnosis, and I'm a recovering drug addict. So I put it out there. I mean, I don't have to tell you my name, but what I want to go by right now, hell, excuse me, but D Smooth, that's what I feel right now. But I have dreams of I watched a documentary on Wendy Williams, and she's in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
That's my dream in life, and my goal in life is to be in the Radio Hall of Fame. I want to influence young kids to express their ways in music and dancing and stuff like that to make a positive and make world peace. And some people think it's crazy, but hey, I mean, I'm just from North Carolina, Charlotte, Queen City, whatever you want to call it. There's everybody in Charlotte is not from Charlotte. Everybody comes from different places. Charlotte's like the melting pot of North Carolina. So you get a lot of different attitudes and a lot of different hospitality is different in the South than it is in North. But anyway, I want to get to it. Basically, I just wanted to say I really appreciate your show. I heard everything you were preaching, and God put you in my life. He really did, because I don't have a phone. I don't have a computer. I have a phone that I have. I don't have a smartphone. When I look up the show numbers, it's really complicated. But I know whenever I do get on air that I maybe will influence somebody to contact with me, because I do hip-hop music, and I record stuff, but I'm all about quality, and it's hard, but the guy, this is my email address, Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L,
704.
Period.
704. I have to interrupt
you.
I have to interrupt you just to let you know that we were glad to put you in touch with everybody. All we need you to do is upload your music at www.hiphopnational.com, and we can do that. We just don't give out that information over the air, sir. Really appreciate you. Thank you. Pastor Chris, go ahead.
All right. We have time to take John Lowe's call.
Yes, we do. If we go into a little overtime, that's fine, too.
Okay.
Okay?
We still want to get Mother Agnes on here. All right, John, you there?
Absolutely.
I'll keep you kind of brief. I just would like to say, man, I see you have ensured your presence and process onto this world about self-examination. You know, sometimes we can't see the light because we're in the light. And I thought about Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 12, but verse 11, especially, you know, about your situation, things that you had said. You know, Satan told, this is the discussion between God and Satan, but verse 11 says, he said, but for a chain, thrust out your hand and please touch everything he has. Whether or not he would curse you to your face. I just thought about that when I heard about your situation, about your son and stuff like that. We all get tests in life, stuff like that. And that was one of your tests. But I see that you still are being strong in that. You deprive yourself of danger existing that I can succeed on my own. And I see that you must keep a valid expectation of God, law, and love. And I see that you is always fighting to keep that love and God, law in your life. And I just want to say that and leave it off right there.
John, I appreciate it, buddy. Always appreciate you calling in, man.
Okay.
Raw Dog, you there?
Yeah. Well, Pastor,
what's going on, man?
I want to say that it was an excellent, excellent sermon, and I'm proud that I listened and I keep up the good work. You know, I'm inspired by you. I'm also realized that I'm human, because you bring in that part to let everybody know that, you know, we're all just human beings. And I'm proud to be on Hip Hop National Radio with you, and keep up the good work, sir. There's many, many that need you.
Brother, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sir. God bless you.
God bless you. All right, I think we still have one more person to talk to. Mother Agnes, you there?
Well, yeah, Pastor, I'm here. I've been waiting forever.
I know, this has been a long show. I appreciate you waiting so long. I know it's about past your bedtime.
Yes, way past my bedtime. Y'all done talked for so long. I about fell asleep over here, but I'm okay, though. I ain't going to hold you too long. I know y'all got to wrap the show up. Plus, probably ain't too many people left on here to listen to my old crazy stuff anyways, because they probably all hung up. You know how black folks do. They get the preaching, then they hang up. They don't stay around and listen to nobody else, no way. So I'm just saying. Well, Pastor, I just had one thing to say, because I know you was talking about, you know, your generation's paying for your sins, and Lord have mercy, you know, I was got to thinking, I got a great, 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 great granddaughter, and, you know, I had this experience one time, and when I was a kid, I was running with a pencil, and I said, I know God, I'm not supposed to be running with this pencil, but I was running with it anyway, and I fell and stabbed myself in the eye. So my great, 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 great grandbaby, when she was born, she had a swollen eyes. Eyes just swole, just manifested like that, Pastor. And I said, that's got to be from that time I was running with that pencil. I should have been sitting like that. That's what I'm telling you. She had a big old swollen eye. They had to cut it off and they put it on the knee. They called a knee seat.
Well, see, I love hearing stories that prove that the Bible is accurate. See, and it takes somebody like you that's a couple of hundred years old to bring that to light. So, my goodness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh,
that needs to be paying for my sins. Needs to be. So it is. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mother Agnes, thank you so much for dialing in. We always appreciate you making us laugh. That's awesome.
Yes, sir, Pastor. You have a great night, too.
All right.
Well, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Well, guys, I think that's going to wrap it up. Let's end the show in prayer. Unless anybody else has anything to add. Anybody got anything? All right. Father, we just thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your revelation. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for giving me the boldness to start pushing a little bit. Thank you for challenging me. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for spanking me when I need spanked. And, Father, just thank you again for the opportunity to come on every Sunday night and just share your word. Father, bless everybody as we go into this new week. Father, keep us safe. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
HipHopNational.com.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio. Hip Hop. Hip Hop.